Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to the Man Cave, post-Daytona 500, episode number 11. As always, my name's Tony Smith, alongside the professor, Brandon Crowd. How you doing, B?
What up?
Dude.
Wow.
Racing season's finally here.
It's here. We're good till November.
I know, right?
It's February.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, tomorrow's March.
I'm all good with that.
I am A-okay with that.
I am all good with that. Oh. So that was a great race. Great. We had a great party over here. Anybody that was checking in with us on Twitter and Periscope and all that stuff. Actually, that was my first Periscope.
Your first Periscope. We had a good turnout, and it was fun.
Yeah, way
cool. It was cool. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure we'll get you back on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I got to get a Twitter handle.
You do, yes.
But yeah, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later.
Absolutely.
So that was pretty cool talking to everybody, like the interaction. What do we have, like 65 people?
Yeah, throughout the start to finish, yeah. There was a total of it there. I think we had about 15 at any one point on there. And you guys probably saw us tweet out some pictures and stuff like that. And I actually have those up on the website already.
That was a good spread, man.
That was a great spread. thanks to some friends for getting into a little competition themselves for trying to outdo each other, and it worked out in our favor.
Yeah, it worked out fine for us.
We had some delicious pulled pork and chicken.
I can make better smoked food than you, okay, right, aren't you?
All right.
And me and Brandon just stood back and like, all right, yeah, do
rock it.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Lindsay was happy too.
Maria had it pretty easy, so it was a great time, as always.
As always. That was That was our seventh party.
Was it really?
Daytona 500. Oh. Yeah, seventh annual.
Yeah, it was a good time. Always is. Always a good time.
Yes.
So, man, it's been good in a big week for us. Downloads and
out of control. So we are over 2,075 total downloads in just 10 shows, which is sick. We eclipsed 2,000 before we even hit show 11, which is crazy.
And here's the crazy thing is, so like this last week, though, was like 600 or something like that or something.
Yeah, we got about 600 total new downloads this week. The big thanks again to the Orange Cone for coming on last week. His show alone got over 400 downloads, which is just
cool. So we're going to have more of that stuff coming up, but that was really cool.
Absolutely.
And the crazy thing is we've told you guys all before, you know, this is episode 11, as I said, but, you know, It was just started out, you know, Brandon and I just staring at each other, you know, and he's not much to look at, you know, so I'm glad
you guys
are jumping in,
right?
Here. But no, it's cool because, you know, we're doing this for all of the NASCAR fans, and that's who we are, and it's, you know, who we want to hang out with. So
absolutely.
So thanks a lot for everything.
Yeah, so continue to share and retweet and all that, and our website's getting some hits too. We got over 1,000 views on our website this
month. That's good. We're keeping that pretty fresh and posting more and more pictures and all that stuff. And who's our next guest?
Our next guest, and I actually talked to their PR guy today, is going to be Brad Yunker from Yunker Motorsports. He's very excited to come on the show, and we're excited to have him. It'll be sometime this month.
Kind of a new series they're in or something, too. So that'll be interesting to learn more about all
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
So,
it's a modified series, which is
pretty
cool.
We haven't set the date yet on it, but it'll be coming up soon. We're not going to do that every week. It'll be,
If we can do maybe once a month, I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, right. So remember like when your teacher used to like roll in the TV so you could watch the video? We're gonna watch a movie
you
today.
You saw that big-ass cart with the TV and VCR on it?
Oh, that was the best feeling ever. It was like, woohoo!
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Yes. You know, the analogies you come up with are just fantastic.
Dude, you know what? It's just what happens in my brain. It's like a carnival in there, man. I don't even know what's coming out three quarters of the time. I'm not going to lie to you. It just comes out.
Just rolls. Yeah.
It does. So, but no, everything's going really good. So,
Thank you, everybody.
Brandon got, well, we didn't get on the show, but you were referenced as an industry expert on the local CBS radio show here in Detroit.
Yeah. So, Monday morning, there's a show in Detroit that's on from 10 to 2, And Tony and I know one of the hosts pretty well. He hangs out at the local establishment. We've had a few beers with him.
And you know, did you know that he and I actually interned at the same radio station?
No, no kidding. Really?
Yeah, literally.
Oh, that's awesome.
Had the same boss.
That's so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So he sent me a message on Facebook, and literally their show starts at 10 o'clock, and it was 9:47 where he sends me a text message. Hey, B, we're going to do a little NASCAR coverage in terms of, you know, sports in general, trying to make too many changes to adhere to the millennials. What do you think about this whole new stages thing? He basically, it was, what's NASCAR doing? Because they really don't follow it all that intensely. They don't talk about it. That's one of the reasons why we started this podcast. And, you know, so I explained to him the stages, why they did it in terms of trying to keep racing exciting, not just at lap 490 or, you know, 190, you know, to keep
and
it exciting throughout
the race. And
that's
what I like about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. And he didn't even realize and take that perspective into account. And I got a nice little shout out and the podcast got a plug on, you know, local radio,
yeah,
which
that's
is pretty cool.
Yeah, well, they're CBS. I mean, they're not, that's not,
it's no small potatoes.
Yeah, it's not a small AM station kind of deal, but
no.
That's,
yeah.
So that was way cool. And that's actually how I was explaining it to people at the party that weren't familiar with the stages. I said, well, now they have, I mean, they've got something to run for hard right now. So otherwise, they'd be on lap 30 or 40 or whatever, basically just hit cruise control and sit back and relax, and you're just burning gas. You know, obviously there's no cruise control,
right?
But you know what I mean. But now, you know that now they had an opportunity to push a little bit more. So, so yeah, man, lots of stuff to talk about today. Obviously, we're going to talk about Daytona, some new driver contracts, fantasy updates, fantasy that kicked off.
Yeah,
that didn't go so well.
No, no, that was across the board. It was a flop.
Not how I had that planned at all.
Nope. And you know, it's fun. You know, I. Tony and I were joking last show about us doing horrible in DraftKings for the Clash, and I did good all week. I didn't make a new deposit into DraftKings. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get suckered in. And then my buddy Zalen comes over, and he's like, dude, look at this lineup. How's this lineup? And I'm setting lineups, and I'm like, oh, I think this lineup's pretty good. So what did I go and do? Deposited money.
Yeah.
Did I win? No.
No.
No. No.
You're
going to. Oh. We're going to. I'm really going to try and wait until, like, Phoenix at a track that I think. Just like, yeah, go ahead. Keep feeding me this bull.
If you guys are believing any of this.
Speaking of gambling, which we don't endorse, right? Guess what came in the mail yesterday?
What came in the mail?
My check on the some big football
game
that happened.
Oh, did you really? You got it. Oh, that was faster than I got
really
my. That was faster than I got my money on the Jimmy Johnson bet.
Yeah,
no kidding.
I was. Pleasantly surprised. I wasn't expecting that till like the end of March.
Yeah, it took 6 or 8 weeks to get mine. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes.
Oh, good. Cool. Beers later. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
sounds good.
More good news.
Yeah. All right.
So so let's get into it, man.
Yeah.
So obviously Kurt Busch wins. Kaz Grela, who I'm not even familiar with, that was way cool.
That was very cool.
And for Roush Racing, that had to be a big win.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Is he? Wait. Is he with Roush?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Yes. That shows you how much I don't know about the guy.
I'm pretty sure he is. Okay. No. You know what? He's not. No. Ryan Reed.
Ryan Reed.
Ryan
yeah. Yeah.
Reed
yeah.
Is.
Yeah. Yeah. We're,
Ryan
yeah,
Reed's in
yeah,
Xfinity.
Yeah, yes.
I was off by a half a tooth there. Sorry.
But no. Yeah. Kaz Grela. I think Kaz Grela.
Yeah. He's like 18.
High school senior.
Dude.
Could you imagine? You win the Daytona truck race.
Dude. Even you could get a date.
Right.
If
yeah.
You won the
seriously.
Date. Yeah.
I
went to Daytona and won. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I heard and saw a bunch of tweets. He was like tweeting people till like 3 o'clock in the morning. Just
I bet
like
he was.
Random people just thanking for the support and all that, which is very cool and just shows how appreciative and you know, obviously humbled the guy was for being able to pull
once
off
in
that
a
win.
Lifetime stuff,
right?
Buddy.
Seriously,
it's huge.
Absolutely. I mean, it's life changing.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder sometimes if we'd hear as much or talk about Trevor Bain as much if it wasn't for him winning.
No way.
You know, and I don't think so. I mean, he's a good driver, and I'm sure he'd still be racing, but it's a life-changing event for
Daytona 500 champion changes everything. I'll put this in perspective for you. I don't know if you saw this or not, but starting this week coming in, and it looks like he's got a pretty, I don't say well-funded, but he's got a decent sponsorship package coming out for the rest of the year. It's Derek Cope.
Oh,
who
okay.
won the 1990
Daytona
500.
He's been around a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so, you know, that's his win, though. I mean, that was it, right? And, honestly, he was running behind Dale Sr. with the half a lap to go, and Dale Sr. cut a tire. So he kind of backed into it, but he's still a Daytona 500 champion.
He's a winner.
And 27 years later, he's still getting sponsorships.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, kind of riding off of that. So it is a big deal.
Absolutely. Tony, did you see, what do you think of Crafton's flip there, man?
That was crazy.
That was scary.
Man.
So I remember last year, there was a wreck. I couldn't tell you who it was, but I remember a guy barrel rolled down the front stretch like 17 times. And as soon as, it's funny when you see that car kind of start to lift from back to front, you know, you're just hanging on by the grace of God and hoping that, you know.
Yeah. Anytime you see the exhaust
system. He stuck
it.
It was almost like a gymnastic flip off of whatever they call those things. And he just landed it.
Yeah,
like.
I gave him an 8, you know. It was
a dick.
Little wobbly at the end. But otherwise, he stuck it.
Yeah.
You know, it was
good. It was funny. His car was more damaged and tore up at Daytona with no dirt than Eldora. I mean, his car at Eldora was spotless.
It really was. But, you know, he was running a completely different line than everybody else.
Oh, yeah. He was.
He said, everybody, you guys all run up there and bounce off the wall all night, do whatever you want. I'm going to be down here.
Yeah. No, but that was scary. And you know,
thankfully,
as soon as you see that, it's a sigh of relief as soon as you see that window net go down.
Yeah.
And once you see the net go down, then you can kind of like backtrack on, oh, man, that was. Not cool, because it's not cool when they wreck, but, man, you can in appreciate the safety features and
absolutely.
And kind of rewind it, knowing that, okay, he's going to be okay after this wreck, and rewatch it a couple times and really see
what
happened
there.
Well,
you know, those roof flaps really help keep cars on the,
absolutely.
On the ground. It's crazy how well those work, I'm glad they're there. So
absolutely.
Glad everybody's okay.
Great truck. And Tony, all three series are running this week in Atlanta, too, so we get to watch all three again. That's awesome.
I like that. That's good. Because I'll tell you what, that the Xfinity race was a wreck fest. It started, I mean, like lap two, 18 cars, and it got worse from there.
That's what I'll be honest, I didn't get to see, but like the last five laps of the Xfinity race, we running around and stuff on Saturday, but that's what it sounded and looked like. So
and I think some of, there was a couple things involved there, so it is a little bit different aero package,
sure.
Right, than what they're used to. They've been out of the car for a few months. I don't say they're rusty, but, you know, they're not as sharp as they will be, you know, let's say in a month, right?
Sure.
You know, and getting maybe a little over anxious.
Well, and
you know, they're ready to go. And so I think some of these guys were, you know, maybe pushing a little too hard.
I also think it's I think this year the class of Xfinity drivers as a whole is a little bit on the younger side. I think we got a lot of 18, 20, 21, 22-year-olds that, you know, it's 500. I'm going to go make a name for myself, you know?
Truthful, I wonder, you know, and, you know, maybe, Professor, you can look up this, but, I mean, I think age-wise, like, there's probably more experience in the truck series.
Oh, I would,
you know,
almost guarantee that.
Than in the Xfinity series.
I would agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, congrats to Ryan Reed, and there's your Roush.
That's my Roush. I knew one. I knew there was a Roush car in there.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's got to be big for Roush. I mean, they've been struggling in the Cup, and I think that's a win at Daytona, regardless of the series, can propel, you know, the entire organization as a whole going forward.
Wins breed wins. Okay.
Right?
You'll get more wins, and hopefully they get a little more momentum. So that was good, and then that little race on Sunday.
That was a crazy ending. That was a fun, and just to kind of set the tone. So one of the big reasons why we started having the Daytona 500 party was people really didn't understand my love for the sport, and we go up to the bar for the Super Bowl, which is, you know, just a couple weeks past. And, you know, everyone throws Super Bowl parties. Well, no one throws a Daytona 500
here. So this was the cool part. When Brandon and I first met, for years before I moved to this city, I had a Daytona 500 party.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, so, you know, so that's what, like, he's like, oh, a Daytona 500 party. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, count me in.
So a lot of the people that were there, as you could tell maybe from that group shot, did not have any NASCAR logo apparel on. And they really just come to hang out and... you know, we do a pool bet here for everyone that comes, and gives people a reason to root for a driver for the day,
maybe win a couple of bucks.
Absolutely,
so.
But towards the end of that race with 10 laps to go, everybody was glued. And anytime a pass was made, people, you know, they were screaming and cheering. They didn't know why, but, you know, yeah, they got into the excitement of the last
finish of the
race.
Well, because we kind of queue it up as you're the car owner of Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
You're the car owner of Matt Kenseth.
Yeah.
You know, so you have, and you have more than one car to
get. Yeah, yeah.
Actually,
yeah,
more, yeah. Four
so
different.
What we did was a particular buy-in, perhaps, and we did four pools, winner of the race, and everybody had two drivers. We had 20 spots, and first caution lap, we divided that up, and leader at halfway, and then the last place guy. So
yeah,
everyone had a chance.
And that was Kenseth, wasn't it?
It was Kenseth, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, yep. So yeah, no, it was a good time, and yeah, so Stuart Haas. What's that back?
They did it. Yeah, well, hey, man, you know, they got the horsepower. And I think that's something that they didn't realize.
Yeah.
I think they're really appreciating that blue oval power.
Yeah.
Is big.
I'm not going to, you know, I expected I'm not going to lie. Everyone knows I'm a Kevin Harvick fan by show 11 now, right? It's
right.
No hidden secret. I wasn't overly optimistic just in terms of, I knew they were going to have a fast car. It's just a matter of how soon before he gets his first win. And Kevin Harvick actually led the most laps on Sunday. He led 50. And if it wasn't for, in my opinion, and I'm going to step aside as being the rational fan, but if it wasn't for Jamie McMurray, I'd like to believe that he maybe would have had a shot to go ahead and win
that. If it wasn't for Jamie McMurray, there's about eight guys that would be able to.
I think more than that.
He was playing pinball.
He was. And this is where, it's a fine line in terms of, what is Rubens racing kind of mentality. These guys definitely have a lot more experience on that ran Sunday than the Xfinity and some of the Camping World Truck Series guys do. Why Jamie McMurray was going up and bumping and running on these guys at whatever laps these crashes happened, it's just mind-boggling.
The only thing that makes sense to me is that he just had a car that was not handling well. Like, it was fast, and he could stay up there and didn't want to let go of it because it was running fast, but it just maybe just wasn't handling the way that he needed it to, and they didn't survive to the point of getting it. Handling better. You know, he's a better driver.
Absolutely. Jamie McMurray is a fantastic driver. I mean, one year he won the 500, the Brickyard and the Coke 600.
Right.
I mean, you're not winning those three races in one year if you're not a good driver.
Right.
I just couldn't figure out what part of it was the race car and what part of it was maybe just over aggression on his side, and I'd like to hope that it was more just an ill handling car than over aggression on his side.
That's what it looked like to me, but. You know, that's we'll see how that all plays out. But that was a good race. And the crazier thing is, so Chase Elliott running out of gas.
Dude,
Larson
what?
Jumps to the lead. He runs out of gas. Blaney said he was about to run out of gas. I mean, if that race was a lap longer, who's the winner?
Who knows?
Matt
DiBenedetto, maybe.
Yeah.
Or A.J. Allmendinger.
Yeah.
But I think what was interesting was, Chase dominated the beginning of the race, and then he kind of drifted off. You know, he was mid-pack for most of stage two. And then he makes a big run at the end and is leading. And I thought for a minute there until gas became an... If it wasn't for running out of gas, I think he might have won that thing.
Yeah,
because
honestly, he was running
strong. But here's
strong.
The thing. He maybe didn't... He obviously didn't win the race. But for a guy that is only in his second season to be able to command the front of the pack like he did at Daytona in being able to block, not cause cars behind him to wreck and drive that car, man, that boy's going to have some wins.
He drives
very
beyond
soon.
His years.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot more to come.
Oh, yeah,
with that young man.
Yeah,
and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm very excited about that. So, Tony, random side note.
Yes, sir.
Kurt Busch was plus 2,700 to win the Daytona 500.
I don't know what that means.
So a $100 bet on Kurt Busch would have won $2,700.
Oh.
Yeah, no small
bet. So that's 27-1.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
So yeah, I he He was not on Vegas's radar with an odd like that by any means.
So he was in the field.
He was, yeah, basically, yeah. Got yeah. It. Actually, the field had a better odd than Kurt Busch did going into the 500. So that's
straight
crazy.
Up. Wow. That's crazy.
So speaking of that, Tony, last week you brought up a potential conspiracy theory with Chase and Junior being on the front row. Are you buying into the Kurt Busch monster sponsor?
Oh, God, I didn't think of that. I didn't even think of that. Oh,
Tony, where does Tony Smith stand on this issue?
Okay, foot, meat, mouth. dude, that's such a crapshoot. That race is a total crapshoot. You know, especially running out of gas and everything else. I think it was one heck of a coincidence. And I'm sure it didn't hurt Monster's feelings.
Oh, no.
But there's no way you can. I mean, Vince McMahon can't even come up with that one, man. I mean, you know,
speaking of Monster being happy and what Daytona 500 can do in terms of changing careers, I'd bet that, and this is probably was going to happen anyways, Monster will be here longer than 2 years.
Let's hope so.
After that, I will. Not like I said, not that that's any big, you know, groundbreaking, maybe shocker by any means, but that sure as shit didn't hurt anything with him, with them winning the first race as them being the sponsor of the series.
Yeah, no, that didn't hurt at all. No, it did not. It was, you know, crazy coincidence, but it's not like Kurt's, you know, it's not like he's not fast.
No, no.
You know,
I mean, clearly. The boys won a championship.
Right, he's won
some races
right.
in his
You know,
time.
And he's in a Stewart Haas car and all that stuff, so. Good for him. I mean, it's good for everybody. I think it's good, you know, across the board.
Yeah, yeah.
Daytona was sold out.
That's so awesome.
Right? I think, you know, little new blood in there.
No, very cool. So, Tony, this was the first weekend we got to see the stages play out.
Yeah.
Anything stick out to you? Did you like it, not like it? Anything?
I'm all for it. You know I am. I mean, until I have a reason to not like it, so far what I'm seeing, like I said before, I'm in. It gives them a reason to push a little harder now. Do I want it to be a crash fest? No, of course I don't. And they won't. I mean,
No. It was an anomaly.
Yeah. And they're, you know, right. That was obvious. It's Daytona.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So let's be fair about it. Everybody's running a half of an inch apart from each other. For our Canadian fans, Brian, that's 12 millimeters.
And nice job by DJ Kennington, by the way.
Yeah. Ooh, very good. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He got clipped. Boy, he just about missed that wreck, too. We were bummed. We're rooting for DJ.
Absolutely.
But no, I'm all for it. I know Danica didn't like it. She had some bad things to say about it.
I was surprised because she actually finished pretty well at the end of stages one and two.
Yeah.
And then she just got caught up in that wreck.
But she said something, though, that I didn't understand. She says it's even mixing up, changing how they qualify. Well, how would that change qualifying?
Daytona, but not for anything else.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay.
Not sure. I didn't hear that. I'm not sure.
You ever notice one thing? We talked about this the other day, but her sponsor, Aspen Dental, it sounds an awful lot like accidental. I mean, it's just, I mean, is it me?
And there goes having any of the Stewart Haas guys on the show. All right, so last week we crossed off Joe Gibbs Racing.
Denny gives me my $150. We're all good. He's back on the show.
Tony's just making sure the only people we can get on are Penske.
Give me a minute.
All right.
Give me a minute. We'll get to them. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Gosh.
So, Tony, a couple things that I found interesting here. Number one, something that I made a comment about on Twitter, and someone said that they think it's in the works. And I was surprised, especially with the wrecks that we had and the truck race and in the Xfinity race, that I would assume the technology guys at Fox are pretty up there in terms of their capabilities at doing things quick.
Yep.
I was really surprised we didn't see like an on-screen caution clock,
five-minute
countdown or something like
minute.
That. You know, they made such a big deal about this. You know, that could have been like a draw in terms of, you know, like a shot clock violation or a delay a game in football. Like, I was surprised.
I'll tell you why that is. I don't think everybody understands it yet.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? It's got to be, there's more, got to be some more technology put in there too.
Mm-hmm.
When it starts and stops and all that stuff. I know NASCAR's got to be pulling their hair out, trying to not just who slid through their pits. You know, yeah. I know Keselowski did that a couple times. They caught him a couple times for that. Suarez speeding. You know, I mean, they got their hands full as it is. Now they got to add some another layer of complexity in there. And I think until they refine it a little bit, maybe then the TV guys will do that.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So just to recap, so Kyle Busch wins the first ever stage and gets taken out with a tire issue.
Yep.
And Kevin Harvick won stage two and got caught up in a wreck. So none of our stage winners had a very good day in terms of final finishes.
Now, Kurt Busch led one lap.
The last one, the one that counted.
It's the only one that counts.
Yep. One thing that I found interesting was the strategy by the Joe Gibbs team in terms of pitting early in stage one and two and almost getting a lap down in both, yet being able to fight and come back, and Kyle Busch winning stage one with that.
Yeah. And well, but you know, we've seen it before, and I think we're going to see more of it this year. What the Toyota teams make their strategy, they do it as a team, and they're going to win or lose as teams, you know. And I think that so when they all came in, it didn't surprise me.
Yeah,
I mean, it surprised me that they came in, but it didn't surprise me that they all came in together.
Oh, absolutely.
So the coach says, and that's what you do.
Absolutely. And for me, I was really happy with the stages. I was bought in, you know. I had a reason to stay glued to the TV at lap 120 when Harvick's out there, you know, leading the laps. And, oh, hey, he's going to get a stage win. Sure, it's not a race win, but, hey, that stage win helped him because of the fact he got caught up in a wreck.
Well, he came out. He came out of that, I mean, points-wise.
Yeah,
he came out
he's
fine.
Fantastic, yeah. I was good with it. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I had a reason to be watching. You know, normally at lap 120 at the party, you know, I'm walking around drinking, talking to people. Not that I wasn't drinking, but I wasn't talking to people. I was sitting against the wall. Lindsay was making fun of me because I had my wireless headphones in, listening to Race View in one ear. I didn't have it in the other ear so I could hear people talking. And I had my Race View sitting in front of me so I could, you know, see what was going on and listen to this. So I was committed to the race, even though we had a party going on.
All right. So that's how you saw it.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you see it?
Okay. So I saw the whole rest of the party, the 25, 30 people, whatever were here. Brandon sitting off in a corner by himself with his headphones on, listening to the scanner, watching it on his fan view, watching a TV. Looks like Rain Man sitting over there going, definitely fast. Yeah. Love Daytona. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Lindsay got a picture of that somewhere.
So that's how it looked from the outside. We were having a great time. And as long as you were happy, you know, we were good with that too. Yeah, we were good with that too. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Back to some more real stuff. One thing that I really did like how it played out, and again, it's not just because I am a Harvick guy, but I think he has the best example coming out of the weekend of how the stages can come into play. So he finished 22nd, which normally would have gotten him 19 points between his finish leading a lap and leading the most laps. But with his finish in the race, his stage win, his place in stage one, and winning, and his place in the duels, Harvick wrecked, finished 22nd, and is fourth in standing
points.
Right,
and we saw that play out in the Xfinity race as well, where Elliott Sadler won stage one, stage two, and was wrecked in the final segment, but came out of there with a good points day.
Yeah.
So that's
one thing I think one big takeaway from the stages is that you can have a good first half of the day and not have a total loss if something happens in stage three. Now, one person that can't say that is Mr. Jimmy Johnson.
That
boy did not have a good weekend.
Not his best weekend.
Wrecked in the Clash, wrecked in the duels, wrecked in Daytona.
I've seen him do better.
He's going to come out with a vengeance at Atlanta, I think.
Yeah.
He's going to come out
swinging.
Oh, I don't know about prove, but the boy's coming out.
It's a little frustration,
I think
maybe.
He's a little yeah, annoyed.
I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's the stages. Tony, anything else stick out from the race?
Only that, you know, when you're the race is winding down and only like five cars haven't been in a wreck. You know, you look at Kurt Busch's car. That car is beat to death.
Yep, yep.
You know?
Well, it's funny. Speaking of that, the Orange Cone sent out a tweet today that 80% of the cars involved in all three races this weekend, 80% were involved in some type of on-track incident.
I saw that. That's
80% amongst three series.
Well, but to be fair, okay, so actually the truck race wasn't too bad until
the last lap. Yeah.
And then, like I said, the Xfinity was just a crash fest from, like, I mean, working lap two. Don't even have two laps in the book, and I think 18 cars went out. So
there were at least two red flags, right?
There were two red flags,
And then we had a red flag on Sunday, which that was a long red flag. That it seemed a little excessive from me in my corner. But so we touched upon Kurt and Chase, but there were some other guys that had really good finishes that I don't think have gotten their due. One being Dinger. Dinger finished third.
Dinger was third. I think he's going to have a good year.
He's making a name for himself.
Yeah.
I
agree.
Coming up there. Eric Almirola, RPM, had a very good finish in fourth. They needed a good finish to bounce back off
that. Team.
Absolutely. To recap their bad year or to come back from last year. Frickin' Paul Menard, Mr. Happy himself, you know, finishing in fifth. Like, I didn't hear his name mentioned once, you know, like, boom.
Nope, neither
here
did
he is,
I.
Top
he
five.
He was there.
Yep. Yep. Casey Kane had a really good run. Waltrip. Michael Waltrip in his 30th Daytona finishes eighth. And I'm going to be honest with you. I expected him to be the guy wrecking on lap two and taking out half the field.
I don't know. I mean, he's certainly got his 30 times there. I mean, he's got it figured out, but.
Matt DiBenedetto finished ninth.
Yeah.
And he had a really good Bristol run in August last year, you know. So that's a nice run for that.
You know what his middle name is?
No.
It's above his door. It's Guido.
That's awesome.
It is.
And then Trevor Bayne wrapped out the top 10. So that was. Some guys who I don't think some of us were expecting to be up there in the top 10.
No, and like I said,
took advantage of the day.
Yeah, let that race go another lap, and it'd be wildly different even from that.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So, want to hit some social media?
No, Tony, you got. Didn't you want to talk about your article there? You want to do that?
No, I don't want to. Not yet.
Okay.
No, we'll do that in a minute. Let's do that after social media, because it's been a big week for social media.
It has been a huge week. So, yeah, we'll move them up a little bit. I'm super happy about that.
So let's hit that first.
All right. So, I've updated the website with some pictures and stuff from our party and stuff. So check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Listen to us on iTunes. If you search NASCAR under the podcast app on iTunes, we're the first one that pops up. Podbean is our main hosting site. So unfortunately, we did not hit our 500 followers on Facebook.
No,
we did not hit that goal.
We're getting a lot of visitors. We're getting a lot of traffic there.
Yes, and we're getting a lot of comments and stuff like that, which is cool. And we're still
three something. I
absolutely.
Mean, it's not.
Yeah,
it's
no,
not,
it's no yeah. small potatoes. But so the bad thing, we didn't get to give someone 10 autographs from Facebook. The good thing that adds 10 back to the stockpile of being able to do through other things. We surpassed our 500 on Twitter.
Yeah, Linda Racing Gal got those.
And after the race on Sunday, I was flipping through and had a Kurt Busch thing. So I literally didn't think it was going to happen. I'm like, all right, I'm going to tweet out a picture, Kurt Busch autograph. If it got 100 retweets by midnight, Sunday night, I was going to give it away. Dude, that got 100 retweets in about 2 hours.
I was watching. It was flying.
Yeah, and people are still retweeting it. It's got like almost 200 retweets.
Yeah, we only got one autograph.
Yeah. And we got about 60 new followers from that.
I mean, the Daytona 500 Kurt Busch autograph.
So Linda Racing, @RacingGal_FL, And Stacy at SCS 4611. Where are they from?
I'm guessing Linda's from Florida.
Oh, and I should know Stacy because I wrote out the address, but okay. I couldn't tell
no
you.
Big deal.
I don't remember. I want to say, not a clue.
Well, thanks for following us,
absolutely.
Though, guys.
So, those went out yesterday in the mail, so they should be getting those. Some shout outs to some new listeners and followers. Facebook, Kevin Likas. He sent Tony a message and said that he binge listened to shows 6 through 10 the other day. So that was really cool.
And you know, I know Kevin from, he worked GM. I don't know if he's still at GM. I know he's moved around a little bit. But he's one of those guys, and every company has them, you know, in their organizations. But like, you want to know who like the smartest guy in the room is? Kevin's one of those guys.
Nice.
Yeah, he's really cool, dude.
Linda Meyer from Millbrook, Ontario, who's a big Jimmy Johnson fan. And I'd have to think that new follower had to be compliments of Brian West if it's from the Ontario and Canada area. And Todd Mickey from Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. Some new Twitter followers, at Angie MDRO from Concord, North Carolina.
Right in NASCAR territory.
Big Martin Truex fan. Luke at Kenworth 900, former Marine, so thank you for listening.
Nice.
And thank you for your service. At JBJB68 from Willamette Valley, Oregon. Tony, coast to coast, baby.
Coast to coast.
Coast to coast.
Well, that's not coast to coast. How many countries?
Globe to globe, baby. We're international.
Yeah, for real.
We're getting around.
Like a record.
There you go. We got some fan mail yesterday from our friend Brian. Sent us literally a stuffed box full of goodies.
So
I tweeted
cool.
that
we're
out.
Just, we're, Brian, we're going through it all before the show, so thank you very much. That's way cool.
Yes. So if anyone, not that we're asking, but if anybody's got anything you want to send us to the man cave.
Send us pictures.
Whatever.
I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Who was it that had that sent us the cool picture before the Daytona 500? They had the Bush. They had the Bush jacket on.
Oh, I believe that was Greg.
Let's try and find that. And,
yes,
you know, put,
I do believe
push,
that
put
was
some
Greg.
Of that stuff.
I can definitely.
You know,
no, I've been saving those in a folder. I've got a bunch to put on there.
Yeah, so send us that stuff.
Absolutely.
You guys are,
yeah, if you want to mail us hard pictures, send them. I'll scan them and put them up, whatever. So that being said, I added on our contact page on our website at thelaptrafficpodcast.com. I put our P.O. box on there. So if anyone wants to send us anything, it's the Lap Traffic Podcast. P.O. Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072.
Yep.
So
we'd love to hear from you guys. It helps us, too. You know, it
absolutely.
Helps us, gets us up for the show, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We love hearing about all that stuff.
Last thing from a social media side is the little fantasy league we got going on. Tony, when we agreed and said we were going to do this, I thought maybe we'd get like 10 people. And We have 28 people playing in our league. Literally, Saturday night, I'm still getting emails. Hey, man, can I get in? Like,
I know. Who was it? It was Stacy, wasn't
Stacy
it?
Stacy was, like, what? Was like, yeah, but she...
She was all upset. She's like, oh, I missed the deadline.
Merrick's brother called me Saturday. Hey, can I still play? I'm like, oh, fine.
Yeah.
So we ended up with 28 people.
Good.
And out of those 28 people...
three people scored points.
Eight people.
Yes.
So, and we had two people that actually picked Kurt Busch. So congrats to Cody and Chris Coble for picking Kurt Busch.
Nice
and
pick, guys.
Getting the max 15 points.
Didn't see that.
Nope. Three people picked Blaney and scored some top 5 points for that. And three people picked drivers who finished in the top 10 and got 5 points. The standings are posted on our website under the fantasy link, so you can go check those out. And make sure you email me your picks for Atlanta.
Yeah.
And someone actually emailed me a question and asked me how I was if the points that I was giving out for the picks were just for the final race result or if stage points were taken into consideration.
Oh, that's a good question.
It's a great question, something I didn't even think of. And because I'm doing this all manually, we're going to just do it based on
the final result
and where your pick finished in the race there.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome. I'm having fun with that. And We'll add that to our social media segment here. If anyone picks a winner, you know, giving them a shout out. So
yeah, no,
that's
way cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
So you mentioned it a few minutes ago, but I wanted to get past the social media stuff.
Yeah.
There was an article.
Oh yeah, I'm excited.
And somebody brought this up on Periscope the other day. Asked if we were going to talk about it. And I was like, hell yeah, we are. So it was in the Wall Street Journal, actually. A guy named.
Oh, they're good on sports, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Right. So and here's the funny thing. His name is Trip Mickle.
Kind of like one more time.
Yeah, Trip Mickle. Did you get that? Like Cole Trickle, but not right. Anyways, the guy, and I look it up. The guy is actually, he's a North Carolina native, which is probably why they handed it to him. But he covers like Apple and covers technology and did alcohol and tobacco in the past and all that stuff. I've not seen a sports article anywhere.
All right.
I reached out to him. I've tried emailing him. I've tried calling him. So here's the synopsis of it.
You did some pre-show work?
Shut up, dude. Listen, Rain, man. I can be accused of a lot of things, but I do my homework, okay?
Tony, before we started the show, I tweeted out a picture of a full glass.
Yeah, you get a glass of ice now.
It's not full
anymore. Where's Maria?
Yeah, she's
when you need
here.
Her. So like I said, man, I can be accused of a lot of things, but I do my homework for the show.
So
check it out. So he writes an article in the Wall Street Journal about NASCAR and really going after Brian France specifically, saying Brian France doesn't go to the races. He sold his interest long ago, you know, and he's the one that's driving this airplane down, and you know, it's doom and gloom and it's awful. And I even went a step further. The Charlotte Observer took that article and printed it as well and had a little bit of a follow-up on it as well. I tried to get a hold of the writers there. The Charlotte Observer is actually in the building as the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
All right, so now tell me I didn't do my homework.
So did anyone get back to you?
No, they haven't gotten back to me. But I mean, hey, I tried, right?
Maybe there'll be a part two to this story.
Yeah, and hopefully there will be. Okay, so here's the real thing. You know, I don't know why the Wall Street Journal randomly decided to pick on NASCAR. That was part of it. But the other part of it, and this has been this now this the second part of this has been on JSKI and some of the other sites, is that Joe Gibbs says, I was interviewed for that. They didn't use a word of it. Right? So, in other words, he didn't give the answers that they wanted to, so they slanted it however they wanted it to.
So, what did they say? Because I didn't read it. You tried to send it, and I couldn't get it. What did it say about Brian France? Because I'm curious about that. He maybe doesn't go to some stuff.
He's
but,
a third-generation guy. All third-generation owners ruin their family business. He doesn't go to half the races. He's not engaged with the owners. The owners don't like him. No changes. There's been no changes. I'm like, really?
Oh.
Clearly you haven't been tuning into the Lap Traffic podcast because we've been covering some
naturally,
of this stuff.
Right?
Like, I mean, but anyway, the whole thing was like, it pissed me off.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie, man. Yeah. I mean, it was not okay. I mean.
So what did the Charlotte Observer correct for any
of
that?
They touched on it a little bit. They kind of prettied it up a little bit. But I honestly wanted to get there, you know. I wanted to get some feedback from those guys. So it was Joe Marusak and David Scott there. I've reached out to all these guys over the last couple of days trying to get us. I mean, like I got desk phone, you know,
nice.
Or I don't know, for maybe their cell phones.
Right.
No, I don't know. But it was their voice on their answering. You know, so when I left the message, but hopefully, if anything, if
and
I
you
hear
said
back from
this
anybody,
is Tony from the Lap Traffic podcast.
I
right?
did.
That's so cool.
I did.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, anyways, so if you know, we do hear back. I'm really interested in hearing, you know, back from someone else. Why? You know, why'd you write the article? I mean, I don't know what you thought you were gonna
write. Like,
I mean, shouldn't he be covering like the East Hampton summer parties or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, the whole thing was weird, but then when Joe Gibbs came out and kind of attacked it back, like, "Hey, man,
defending the sport,
totally,
absolutely, that's awesome."
And then it's announced Hamlin is signed through 2022. Logano just got a big deal.
Yeah.
So then they went one step further than that. They talked. Who's the other guy you're going to talk to? You can talk to the captain, right? Roger Penske.
Yep.
Roger Penske had a great analogy. Okay, guys, attendance is down. Oh, that was the other thing. Well, they're taking out stands from places. It's doom, it's gloom, it's bad, it's, you know. But, so think of this. So Roger Penske was instrumental here in Detroit. He's a big Detroit guy. And he helped get the Super Bowl here about 10 years ago.
Yep.
So think about this. There were 78,000 people at the Super Bowl. NASCAR gets that kind of crowd every single week.
Absolutely.
We're getting Super Bowl crowds once a week. And that's bad how?
Right. Absolutely.
I mean, is it down?
No.
Yeah, it's down.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But in the grand scheme of things, if you compare it across the board, we're bringing in more.
They're all down, right? It's still pretty great. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, the Orange Cone touched on that as well last week. It's still pretty wonderful. Now, I see the stats come out and all the viewership and everything comes out from the Daytona 500, way up.
Way up. Yeah, like 7-8% up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And specifically where I thought it was cool, the age group, 18 to 34, up 10%.
Excellent. You want to know what else I think maybe helped the numbers?
That we've been plugging it a lot?
Obviously.
I mean, a lot of people probably didn't even know it was coming.
No, naturally. So. I think one thing that helped is this was the first race in a couple of years, I think, that was able to run at its scheduled time for the Daytona 500.
That doesn't hurt.
That, you know, so if people know, oh, hey, the 500's running this weekend, you know, all right, I can go on there and know what time to tune in, and oh, hey, it's actually on, and it's not some.
But you know, it's hard though. I mean, you know, it's Florida. It's the springtime. There's rain can happen. You know, and it does.
Well, and you're obviously not going to change the date of the 500.
Nope.
But this kind of goes into one of the gripes that I do have with NASCAR in terms of its inability to change its cookie cutter schedule, like. How many races in a year do we have to have rain at Pocono before we decide,
maybe we should
move it. Maybe it'll make Pocono a little more interesting. I have the same gripe with Michigan.
Yeah.
Why do we have to come here every weekend, the second weekend in June and the third weekend in August? Like, we couldn't run them here in May. Maybe that'd be fun.
Did they move it in August? They moved it.
Well, I mean, they switch it a week. I mean, but it's the second or third weekend in June and August, guaranteed. Like, you know, for me, I don't buy into the whole logistics thing because when they leave the race in Michigan, they're driving back to the shop. And then they're going to drive from the shop back to the next race. Right. So
They're going from Detroit to Chicago.
Right, yeah. No, they're not they're making a round. Yeah, they're going back. So I don't buy into the whole logistics thing of that, you know. Right. So why can't we – I get you're going to have your staples. You're going to have Daytona the first race. Duh. Okay, right. You're going to run Daytona for the 4th of July. Fine. You're going to run the Coke 600 over Memorial Day weekend. Fine. But why can't we Michigan have the first race of the Chase? It's still fantastic weather here in September. It's actually a little nicer here in September, you know.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Yeah. You know, so I remember, speaking of June at Michigan, I heard a thing a long time ago, so going way back, but Sterling Marlin, you know, when he was running the number 4 Kodak car and running real fast at Michigan and everything, he said. So his crew chief Kenwin said, "So what do you want? You know, this weekend. You know, we're going to Michigan. What do you want?" He said, "All right, we're going to Michigan, and it's sweet corn season." He says, "So I want the biggest engine you got in the house, and I want lots of butter
because
I'm having some sweet corn."
So. I love it. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. So anyway, so that was my thing there, and I'll follow up. If anybody knows how to get a hold of Trip Mickle or David Scott at the Charlotte Observer, Joe Marusak at Charlotte Observer, Trip is at the Wall Street Journal. But I would. I mean, and I'll be fair. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah,
you know, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't understand even why they would write it. I think they over-exaggerated greatly. How bad things are.
Could that be the media doing what the media does sometimes?
Shocker. You know, but then, you know, and then to interview Joe Gibbs and then throw it in the garbage, don't use any of that, you know, the whole thing just kind of stunk to me. So,
yeah.
Anyways, so nice. Stay tuned. I'll let you know if I hear anything. But, So, contracts. I said, well, you know, touched on that for a second there, but there was some big announcements.
Yeah, so Penske signed Joey Logano and crew chief Todd Gordon to a new 5-year extension, good through 2023. Tony, Brad Keselowski is also in a contract year still, teammate with Joey Logano. Do you read into anything that Logano was re-signed first before Brad, or what do you have any thoughts on that as a whole?
You know, I don't know. That's actually a really good question. I think that Penske and Brad get along real well. I don't think there's any, you know, I don't think there's any issues there. At least I haven't heard of any trouble. Miller Lite's been with Penske Racing for a long time. I think Brad does a real good job of promoting it. Did you see where he jumped in his golf cart, went through the infield, and then dropped off some beer for some guys?
Yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah. Oh, and there was another cool one too. I saw. So Joey Logano was going through the pits in his golf cart as a passenger, and he makes a guest stop, and somebody had up a big banner, and it had Matt Kenseth on it, and it had Joey Logano on it, and it said, "You mad, bro?"
Oh, that's
like that,
awesome.
You know. So Joey Logano,
cool.
Yeah, it was way cool.
That's awesome.
And these guys are just sitting at their campsite, and who gets out of the golf cart? It's Joey Logano. It's like, So
that's awesome.
So Joey's like, hey, he's like, "I'll sign it," you know, and he signs it. You know what he signs on it? He says, "Haters gonna hate."
Oh, that's
Joey
so
Logano,
cool.
You know, and they were laughing and having a good
old time
about it. But I thought it was cool that Joey had a good sense of humor about it, you know, and thought it was funny.
That's awesome.
You know,
yeah.
The creativity that's in the infield is
so
phenomenal.
Cool, right?
Yeah.
Hamlin resigned, and that you broke that news to me about 20 minutes before we started the show.
Yes, sir.
That's he signed through 2022.
Do I get a gold star for homework this week,
Professor? Yeah, dude, you do. Totally. Like, there's some beer in the fridge down here. Woo-hoo. Help yourself.
Not any. No, you didn't look, did you?
What?
No, there's not. No, I'm kidding.
No. Yeah, you know what? No, I didn't. Well, between you, Zaylin, and James, there's.
I behaved. I
you
was so
behave.
Good. It was crazy.
And just to recap, some of the other drivers that are in a contract year with contracts set to expire, Hamlin, who just renewed. Kenseth, Larson, McMurray, Keselowski, Almirola, Jimmy Johnson, Jr. All these guys are in a contract year this year.
Kenseth and Larson are the guys that I'm watching the hardest on that list.
Okay. All right. Just to see, do you think they might move?
Do they go somewhere? Do they do something else? Do they shuffle the deck a little bit?
I think Larson is going to stay with Chip Ganassi. I think he'd stay. Kenseth, I could see maybe moving.
Boy, I'd like to see Kyle Larson in that number 5 Hendrick car.
Ooh. So that would mean Kasey Kahne's going to move too, potentially.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
his contract's good through 18.
Oh, I thought this was his last year.
No, his is good through 18.
Okay, well, sorry. Right. So, I mean, this is all based on no facts whatsoever.
No,
I'm just saying.
Irresponsible speculation,
is
what I like to call it.
We can all bench race and speculate,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, we can do it great from the couch with a beer in our hand.
But I mean, I was just saying, I would like to see Kyle Larson in a better car.
Yeah, well, could you imagine Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott on the same team?
Right.
That's kind of where I was going with that. Hendrick would have the monopoly.
That's
like,
kind of where I'm going with that. But then on the other side, so I mean, this everything's getting younger. I mean, there's younger drivers coming through. Matt Kenseth is in his final year of the contract.
Yeah.
I could easily see, I mean, Joe Gibbs, you know, because we all know, you know, how bad of shape NASCAR's in. He's got 4 fully funded teams and 3 more in Xfinity.
Right.
He's had no shortage of drivers to move through there.
Sure.
So.
Now, you know, and just to, there have been rumors, not that anything's in stone or anything, but in terms of at Stuart Haas between Clint Bowyer and Danica Patrick. I think Clint Bowyer is... If there was to be a safe driver, not anything safe, I think Clint Bowyer is going to be fine. But Danica Patrick very well may be on the hot seat. And, you know, how cool would it be to see Matt Kenseth over there?
Yeah,
or,
he could do something.
Kyle Larson, you know, a younger guy. I mean, the Stuart Haas camp, they're not spring chickens by any means, you know.
No.
Kurt Busch has been around a while. Harvick's been around a while.
And Harvick signed.
Harvick did re-sign it, so he signed it. He renegotiated through a 5-year extension, I'm ecstatic about.
Sure,
I
don't know. I think Danica. I don't think she's going anywhere per se. I think she'll be in the sport for a while,
but she may switch teams.
Yeah,
I don't think she could switch teams.
She could, you know, hopefully. I'm. I joke about Aspen Dental earlier and everything, but I'm glad that they stepped up.
Yeah, oh, you know, absolutely.
And I am all, I mean, I can't say this enough. I am 1,000% for diversity and
oh, absolutely.
And all of that stuff. I'm way on board with that, and I want to see more of it. So I do, honestly, I do hope that there, if it's not Danica, if it's someone else, you know.
Jennifer Jo Cobb. I mean, oh, she can wheel a car. She can wheel a car, a truck, you know. She ran, was that? She ran the Xfinity. Was that her first time in an Xfinity?
No, she's Kevin Harvick's age, probably. She's definitely been in the series for a long time and everything. But hopefully there's someone coming. You know, I'd like to see some of these programs. You know, there's a lot of driver development programs.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, that's cool. She's had some sponsorship troubles there, and they look like they're getting better.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Things are settling down there a little bit, so that's good.
Tony,
sir,
you're a tire guy.
Tire guy.
You're the tire guy.
I do like tires. I'm a tire guy.
Ron White had a joke about
tire
tires.
College. But I was sick on lug nut day.
Tony, talk to me about tires.
Yeah, a lot of tire problems at Daytona. You know, we knew that they're coming in with the new tire. We knew that they had to run on the tires that they qualified. We knew it was a different aero package, which affects the tires. So a lot of problems. I mean, Joey Logano had a couple problems. They said one of them was a lug nut, maybe was loose. But I think it was Matt Kenseth that said every set of tires shook.
Oh really? I didn't
know
that.
Everybody's saying their cars were shaking, and anybody that's ever gone down the freeway with the tire out of balance knows what that's like. And now imagine you're going 200. Okay, so it's shaking, which means you take like half of that weight. You know, it only takes half of that weight to shake. You know, to shake the car, and you know, and that's when you start getting, you know, mechanical failures. You get wires that vibrate loose, ground straps, and electrical problems, and it causes a lot of problems. I'm interested to see over the next couple races how this goes. Obviously, it's going to be different for Atlanta than it is at Daytona but
the nice thing is, throughout the month of March, we get Atlanta, big fast track.
Yep.
We get Las Vegas, typical intermediate track. We get Phoenix, short track, you know. So we're going to get to see this new tire and aero package at all of the track.
Yeah, and the biggest complaint there, of course, you know, I think we all heard Kyle Busch, rather, you know, and said that it was good. Your tires just aren't very good at holding air. And I think, boy, he was biting his tongue in half to just say that.
Yeah, yep.
So, but, you know, but it's two different things, though. So the vibration... The vibration would be in the mounting and balancing side of it, and you know if they're just not holding up or blowing or whatever, you know that's a tire issue.
You know,
that's on Goodyear's engineers.
I remember, and I'm sure you do too. A couple of years ago, Brickyard, I think it was 2009 or 10, went about. Tires were only getting about 10 laps, and drivers were just cutting them left. And literally, they were going down like hardcore. You know, that's something I think that Goodyear should have maybe done a little bit better job with if there really was that big of a tire issue. And that's where I think, too, sometimes NASCAR's been a real stickler the last few years on not letting teams test in the off season, except for, you know, a selective tire tests where only one driver from each team gets to go
It's not even that. And you know who you never see there? You don't ever see, you know, BK Racing there, and you don't see front, you know what I mean? You don't see some of the, you see Logano and Stuart Haas guys and that because, you know, clearly they need more testing time.
Sure. Right.
You know, I mean, that bothers me. I don't know what the logic is and how they do
cost
that.
And is involved in that somewhere along the lines. But, you know,
yeah,
I don't know. But you would think, especially in the, you know, teams get to practice in the off season, you know, in other sports, I would think that they would loosen the restrictions a little bit on that just to, you know, get a better feel for. Especially when you're bringing and introducing a completely brand new aero and tire.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be one thing if they had kept things the same. Okay, well then fine. You guys know what to expect. But when you've got brand new everything, you would think they would have let them, you know, test the waters a little bit more.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But, you know, here's something that was funny. So we talked about this last week with the orange cone. Parker Kligerman wrote a great article a couple weeks ago about, you know, it's endless money. You have, I mean, you have $20 million, you can spend $25 million. You have $25, you can spend $30. There's always something else they can try. And this was on specifically was on wind tunnel time, right?
Yeah.
So it was interesting. They're showing a car. They're showing one of the Hendrix cars. I think it was Junior. And Jeff Gordon makes a comment that I'm sure no one caught, but I heard it. He said, you know, they've done a lot of work on that car, you know, and CFD and da da. And he pulled right off the topic. CFD is computational fluid dynamics. Okay. So Jeff Gordon has spent enough time in a wind tunnel that he knows the acronyms for wind tunnel dynamics, right? That's how much money they're spending, you know, and to go out and have a problem because of a tire.
Right, right.
You know, your day's ruined because of a tire.
Right.
Right. So that's the frustration here. No, totally. I think that's a lot of it. So now one other thing too, and I don't know if you didn't see the Xfinity. So you know they have a tire allotment.
Right.
Right. They only get X number of tires.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Austin Dillon got caught. His tires got confiscated.
Ooh.
Having illegal substance on his qualifying tires.
Ah.
So they took those tires from him.
Yeah.
You know?
Oops.
So yeah, right? Yeah. Oh Oops. That. Oh.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, you saw that, didn't
Was
you?
That me?
Oh. All right.
So anyways. We'll learn a lot more as we go forward. But like I said, it's two different issues though. You know, if it's balancing, you know, causing the vibration, or I guess it could be I don't know if the tire would be that bad, but it'd have to have a bulge the size of a tennis ball on the side of it, but
right
to shake that bad. But you know, maybe it's just, you know, a tire thing. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
So what else is going on?
A couple things. Tony, I am so annoyed with the J-Ski format change. I mean, we've been very embracive of all the changes in NASCAR. I tell you what, that pisses me off the most.
Yeah, yeah. I'm all right with the Monster Girls. I'm all right with the stages. I'm all right with qualifying.
Everything.
I'm J-Ski.
The layout, it would have been one thing. Okay, fine. I get that. It's a partner site with ESPN. They, you know, maybe wanted to brand ESPN a little bit, which I don't understand because ESPN basically has wiped their hands of anything NASCAR related.
Yep.
But there's nothing the same. Like, you could go and get a PDF of the practice times that were easily accessible. Standings, news, like. And now I feel like a lost puppy dog trying to go through and
find
stuff.
You know what I miss
there.
Most is the countdown.
I know. That was how I was basing the cutoff time for the fantasy submissions.
Is that? Yeah, right? Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh.
Hey, is that entirely impossible to add to our website?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Little homework, but something.
Didn't mean to drop that but just an idea.
Nothing I'm going to get up by Atlanta, but it's something I can look and see if I can do that. Yeah,
maybe we can
absolutely.
Give it a little help on that or something.
Yes.
Hey, if somebody knows how to do it out there.
Oh, speaking of that, I forgot to bring that up during the social thing. Tony needs a Twitter handle name.
I do.
He does. We've got some suggestions, so continue to send those in as well as...
We got a couple of good suggestions.
We did,
too.
Yeah. We got a couple of good ones. I think the leader right now is Crew Chief Tony.
Yep.
That one's in the lead right now.
And we posted one picture of me when I was a crew chief on a Toyota Atlantic series.
Yeah,
I got some other
website.
Ones. Got a couple other ones. I'm just digging through some stuff. I've just been had other things
and,
going on.
And we made mention that we're looking to revamp the logo, and we've gotten quite a few good things. And you know, we're still going to just give that a little bit more time if anyone wants to send us
I want to say thank you.
Absolutely.
I want to say thank you even if you thought about it. I mean,
yeah.
For you to take time and put something together and send it to us, and whether we even use it or not, thank you so much.
Yeah,
it's so cool, and we appreciate it so much. So
yeah, absolutely.
You know, this is an us deal. You know, I mean, we're all NASCAR fans, and that's why we do it. But we really appreciate it.
Yeah. So J-Ski, that's really annoyed me.
Yeah,
Tony, you got anything else?
It's Atlanta. It's going to be. I like the Atlanta race.
I do too.
I'm sure the PETM boys are they're jacked up about that.
They're going. How awesome for them. They get to go to race two.
Right.
And we got to wait till freaking June. Like, come on. Yeah, no, they're excited. I know they did a, they went to the Dawsonville pool
I saw
hall
that.
The other day, or yesterday, actually.
Hit the siren?
Yeah, that's
that was
way
cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
That I had fun listening to them. And
Dawsonville's not that far from Atlanta.
No.
I don't say
no.
Like an hour.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So, Tony, what's really cool from this whole podcast thing that we got going on is, like, every other day there's, like, a new one coming out in terms of, you know, PETM. They did theirs yesterday. Right Sides Only does one, and they gave us a shout out on their show the other day.
Yeah.
They do one, appears to be Sunday nights after the race, and, you know, we come out midweek. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's, I'm good with that. But no, I'm looking forward to Atlanta. Oh, speaking of Atlanta,
yes.
Alex Bowman's got a truck ride.
That's very cool.
I didn't see who. I don't know whose car it is or what. But
no, that boy deserves to be on the track every weekend.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, way cool.
Yes. So, Tony, I'll hit our social media here if you don't have anything else.
Let's do it.
All right. Website, laptrafficpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Hit us up on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Listen to us on iTunes or Podbean. And one thing I did forget, we don't have any new contests out there. You know, I think we'll give it a couple weeks or so and decide what's a realistic milestone number to hit. And
we'll
get another one out there soon.
We'll kick a few things out there.
So make sure to follow us. Thank you again. Tony said earlier in the show, we had a fantastic week last week. Big thanks again to the Orange Cone. And Tony, what do we got next week?
Next week, obviously, we'll be covering Atlanta fantasy results, and I'm sure there'll be a couple, three, four, of it going the way that it has been so far. It's going to be four other things that have been popping up. And I'll let you know if there's any updates from the Wall Street Journal article as well.
Absolutely.
So if I hear from any of those folks.
Yeah, Tony, you got a pick for – you got an early pick?
Man, I'm going to go with one of the Hendrick cars, you know – Yeah, I'm going to go with Chase.
Chase?
Yeah, I think he's feeling it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Jimmy Johnson's coming back with a vengeance, so I'm going to pick Jimmy Johnson.
All right, cool. Well, don't forget to get your picks in fantasy. And I guess, you know, that's it for this week. We'll cover it after the Atlanta race, episode number 12 next week. Thanks for joining us at the NASCAR Man Cave. See you next week.
See ya.